All right. If you take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. I thank the Lord that you're here this morning and you chose to come to church. I pray that the Lord will do something powerful in your life today through His Word and through the Holy Spirit and through the singing and preaching. And I'm grateful to be with you this morning. If we'll look in His Word, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Let's just start in verse 21. We're not reading many verses this morning, and it's just good. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If you will write next to that reference, John 6, 39 through 40, that's very helpful. The will of the Father is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, right? And that shows you where that will is, so people don't confuse you. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, he's refuting works, not advocating works for salvation in this passage. "And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work," present tense, "iniquity." Verse 24, "Therefore," and this is where the sermon is, so let's hone in here. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Brother Mark, can you ask the blessing on the sermon this morning, please?
Dear Lord, we come unto you in prayer this morning, God. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for letting us be here, for letting us gather together to worship you, Lord. We pray, God, that you can speak to our hearts this morning. We pray that you can open our minds, Lord, to hear what you have to say and to concentrate on you this morning, to give you honor and glory, Lord. We pray, God, that you can bless the service, bless the preacher, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, this is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, right? It has been called the most powerful sermon by the most powerful preacher. And there never was a more powerful preacher than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he concludes this famous sermon with a contrast. There's two ways. There's the narrow way, and there's the broad way, and most people go down the broad way. There's two trees. There's one that bears good fruit, and there's one that's wild that bears thorns. There's two professions. One that pointed to past deeds as a way to prove Christianity, but presently they worked iniquity, and the other one that was real. And he concludes the sermon with two men that build two different houses, and the two men that build two different houses built those houses on two different foundations, and they had very different outcomes. Two men, two houses. Two builders and two houses. And he illustrates life and the conclusion of the sermon with two builders and two houses and two outcomes. And you know what he's talking about today? You and your life and your future. The house, it's where you put your security. The house, it's where you put your most valuable possessions. The house, it's where you live your life. You know what the house represents? It represents the life that you're building. Two men built two different lives. And the storm came. Now, what is the storm? The storm is the problems you'll face. No matter where you build your house, no matter where you build your life, we're all going to have problems. Every one of us. There's no getting out of them. But what will become of you when those problems come? There's only two outcomes. There's a good one and a bad one. Either it'll stand or it'll fall. So we're going to look at these two men and these two houses and these two foundations this morning. And we're going to just have three simple points. Number one is going to be the comparison. Number two is going to be the contrast. And number three is going to be the conclusion. There's two men here. And I can't help but see a lot of similarities between these two men. And let's look at one of those similarities are. If you will look down in verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house. If you will look at verse 26, and doeth them not, in the middle of the verse, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house. What made them alike is they both had a dream. They both had a vision. They both wanted to build a house. Now, that building, that house, that they were had a dream, and they listen, no matter where you're at, if you're on a rock or on your the sand, you know what you're doing today? You are building something. You're building a life. It doesn't matter if you are standing on the shifting sand of man's ideas or if you are founded on the rock of Christ Jesus. Everybody that is sitting here this morning, you are building something. You have a dream. You're building. You know what the comparison is? Is they're both building. They both have a dream. They both have a vision. They both have a goal. They wanted to build a house, and it could refer to a future. It could refer to a family. We're building a family. It could refer to a career. It could refer to a church. Isn't a church called the household of God? And we're fitly joined together and we're building. The Lord is using us and He's building His church. And it could be a pastor that starts out to build a church. It could be a family gathering. It could be a place to build a house, to put your family in, to celebrate the good times. Listen, both of them wanted to raise a family. They both sat down and they got their blueprints out and they both sat down and designed a living room. And one of them thought about poncho claws and Barakoba and Big Red. And the other one thought about Santa Claus and he thought about honey-baked ham and turkeys. And they thought about their families being gathered in that living room. And they said, I want to build a place where I can have my sons and my daughters come, and I want a place where I can keep the cold out, and I can keep the heat out, and I want a place that can be comfortable. I want to build a place of comfort. A house offers security. It offers safety. It offers a wall between me and the bad guys. I'm in here and the bad guys are out there. This is my place that is safe and secure, and this is the place where I find comfort. In whatever you're building, you're looking for security and you're looking for comfort and you're looking for a place that you can enjoy with your loved ones. That's your dream. That they both had the same vision. They had the same goals. They wanted a place of rest. You ever just have a really hard day? And you just can't wait to go home and take a shower and just sit down on the couch or sit down in the recliner. Couches are old school. They're not even comfortable anymore. After you can kick out a recliner and put your feet up, who would ever buy a couch? They're uncomfortable. They're impractical. I just want a bed in my living room. And they both wanted that. They wanted you think about a house. Brother Cruz bought a house. Miss Jessica bought a house. Brother Ashton bought a house. Brother Cormican bought a house. You know what they say? I want to have an inheritance. Something valuable that I can pass down to my kids. I want to have something that I can hold over my kids' head and say, if you ever put me in a nursing home, you can't have this. That's what they wanted. They wanted something to show. No one wants to fail at life. Nobody starts out and they go to the marriage altar and before they go out there, they print out the first draft of the divorce papers. They don't want to fail when they start out. They don't plan to be broken and scattered and destroyed when they start out to build a home. No preacher starts out to pastor a church and he says, you know, I'm going to give this my best effort. And in 10 years, it's going to dwindle down to nothing. And I'm going to be forced out in depression. They don't start out that way. Nobody makes plans that way and goes that way. Everyone wants the church to be strong and vibrant. And they want it to succeed. And they always have dreams for better things. These two men, these two builders, they have so much in common. They have the same dream. And you have a dream here as well, right? And I don't know what your dream is, but I know you dream about the future. And I know that wherever you're standing, if you're standing on the sand or on the rock, you dream about the future and you begin to build to that end. Maybe it's family, maybe it's marriage, maybe it's career, maybe it's retirement. Hopefully you dream of doing something for God as well. Because that's the whole point. We're going to build something for God. We're going to build a house for God. We're going to please God by building something for God. That's the point. You know what else was similar about these two men? They both had the same instructions. And I haven't been there yet, and I can't wait to go, but Brother Phil's been there. They've been to the mount where Jesus preached his sermon. And they heard the greatest preacher that ever lived preach the greatest message that was ever preached. They heard it. They had biblical instruction so they could have sound construction. I mean, they heard Jesus preach. Does it get any better than that? Could it get any better than that? I mean, the voice of God, the Son of God. They were in close proximity with each other. They went to the same church. They had the same education. They had the same opportunity. They heard the same message. Wow. They have so much in common. You know what else is similar about them? They both faced the storm. The storm came. And it beat upon the house. And the rain came. The floods came up. The rains came down. And the floods came up. This guy knows what I'm talking about. He told me not to sing in Sunday school. I said, what would a good friend do? He said, Pastor, they would say, don't sing. Something bad will happen. And what would a good friend do? A bad friend would say, just go ahead and sing. And a good friend would say, no, don't do it. He said, I'm going to be a good friend to you. I was singing in class. And he said, stop. He didn't say that, but That's what he felt in his spirit. And the storm came. The rains came down and the floods came up, and they both faced the same problem. They faced the same storm and the same difficulties. And listen, no matter where you're at, let me tell you, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain, and even if you're trying to build and you're building and you have a dream, you're going to have problems. Listen, it's something you can count on, and it doesn't matter where you're sitting. People have the dumb idea that if I don't live for God, I won't have problems. That's not true. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. And if you go out and you run away from God, you're going to have problems. And if you serve God, you're going to have problems. If you backslide, your problems aren't going to go away. And if you live for God, your problems are. Listen, everybody is going to face the same storm. And if you're standing over here and the sand is shifting, the storm's coming. And if you're standing over here on the rock, can I tell you, the storm is coming. The storm is coming to your life and to your life and to your life. It's coming to every life in here. No matter what you're building, the storm is coming. You know what the comparison is? They're all facing the storm. They both had a dream. They both had the instructions. They both had storms. And on the surface level, there's no difference. And as long as things are good and the sun is shining, you'll never know what's going on. Hey, it's good now. The sun is shining. Things are working good for the man with the house on the sand, because the sun's shining. And as long as the sun's shining, you're not going to know, but the storm's coming, the flood's coming. And you know what? The flood is going to reveal what the house is built on. When you raise your head and you can feel the breeze quicken, and you see the sky begin to darken, and you hear the thunder clouds roll, and the trash cans start to blow over, and the wind and the leaves and the trash start to blow around, and you hear the thunder crack in the distance, is where your house at? Listen, the sun's shining now, but the storm is coming to a theater near you. Matter of fact, it's coming to your address, to your house. Let me ask you this. When you watch David stand beside the grave of his baby, and you think about the storm you're going to face, is your house in the right place? Are you confident? Are you confident when you hear the wind coming? And the storm coming and the breeze coming. When you watch Job and you hear, and I don't know how that all unfolded, but all I know is Job had 10 children that died. And I don't know how funerals were back in that day, but I know that weeping was the same. And I know that grief was the same for Job as it is for us. And I know that the storms of life that blew through Job's life are the same storms that are going to blow through our life. Maybe not to the same extent, but those storms are coming to your life. Both of them face the same storm. And I don't know how that funeral happened, and I don't know if his wife went and laid a rose on every coffin, and Job grabbed the boutonniere and placed it on his oldest son's coffin. I don't know how that went. But as you've watched Job and you watch him weather the storm, and you also know the storm is coming to you, are you confident? Is your foundation here on the sand, or is it on the rock? If you look at Job and you see financial devastation, a moment's wealth just gone. All of it. And I don't know how, I do know that somebody come and told him, and he said, your version of the bank account, it's dry. Everything's gone. Nothing is left. The storm's coming. Are you going to be okay? And when you watch Moses, and God said, hey, Moses, it's your time to die. And you know what he watched Moses do? Moses walked up to the mountain. And he knew he was going to die. And the storm came in his life. And that's coming to my life. And that's coming to your life. And it's coming to every life in here. When it comes to your life, are you confident? Can you stand confidently in the face of death? As you watch Judas and a man named Jesus was there in the garden, you watch Jesus Christ and a man named Judas that walked with him for 3 years came and kissed him and betrayed him. A man that he had loved, a man that he had taught, a man that he had walked with and ministered with. Hey, listen, when that happens to you and I, are we going to be okay? What are you saying? I said they're both the same. They face the same storm. They're going through the same things. Right now, they look the same. But the storm's coming. Now let's look at the contrast. Let's look at the contrast. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He said, I liken him unto a wise man. And he built his house upon a rock. Look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. One man is called wise, and the other man is called a fool. This is where their comparison ends and their contrast begins. And the first contrast we see is wise and a fool. Both go to church. Both have instructions. Both have a dream. Both have troubles. But one is wise and one is a fool. Now, whenever the Bible is talking about wisdom, it never is talking about intellectual capacity, acumen, and the ability to... And whenever it talks about foolishness, it is not talking about how many gigabytes of RAM you have in your hard drive. It's not talking about the ability to process information. And if you want to know if you're wise or a fool, do not go and do an IQ test. That won't tell you. First of all, it just depresses me. I thought I was above average. Guess I'm average. Slightly below average. But that doesn't mean you have wisdom or don't have wisdom. That's not what the Bible talks about. You know what the difference is between wisdom and foolishness? It's the choices you make. It's where you choose to build your house. It's the choices you make. You want to know if you're wise? Look at your choices. You want to know if you're a fool? Look at your choices. One man is wise and one man is a fool. And that was the... We talk about somebody that has a lot of book knowledge but no common sense. And you know what we say about that? That he does not have the ability to choose right. He doesn't have the ability to think right. Or choose right. And the fundamental choice that determined who was wise and who was a fool was where they built their house. It's all about the foundation. Is it rock or is it sand? It's not the structure, but what it was resting on that determined who was a fool and who was not. Let me ask you this. What is your hope for the future resting on? Is it on the rock of Christ Jesus or the shifting sand of man's ideas? You know what most people do when they start building? They just start building. They don't dig. And they don't move the sand away and get down to the bedrock. There's a skyscraper out in San Francisco, Millennium Tower, and it's leaning. And everyone in there has spent $5 million, $4.5 million on these condos, and now it's 14 inches to the right. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. And they're saying, why didn't they go down to the bedrock to build that giant, big, tall skyscraper? Why didn't they go to the bedrock? He said they didn't go to the bedrock, and so it starts to lean. And I came here to San Antonio, and I built the house that's next to the church there, and I went to the engineer, and he said, now listen, I see your plans, and they look good, but he said, you know what you need to do? You need to hire a bulldozer, an excavator, and you need to remove 24 inches of dirt, and then you need to lay down 12 inches of rock base before you begin to build your foundation, because this soil is not able to hold a good foundation, and it moves. And I said, you don't know what he's talking about. He's from Texas. I'm from Tennessee. I said, Texas, when they need help, they call Tennessee. I mean, think about Davy Crockett is the one that came here to help them. I don't need their wisdom. They need my wisdom. That's why I'm here. Go to the Alamo. And so, I built. And everything looked good. And this is an actual picture of my mistake. And I said, Mr. Ron must not have done the sheetrock, Marty. Problem with the sheetrock. And so I fixed it. And it came back. And I fixed it. And it came back. I fixed it. It came back. Then I went outside. I said, oh, there's the problem. What's the problem? Well, I didn't dig down to the foundation. I built on the sand. You know what the sheetrock person says and the siding person says and the foundation person says? Nothing you can do. You can't fix it. You have to fix the foundation. I said, well, how much is that? $40,000. Or you can live with the cracks and just keep fixing them, but they'll always come back. And eventually it's going to crumble. You know what people do? They add Jesus and put him on top of the sand. And they have a problem. And they have a need, and they have a dream, and they have a desire. And they think, you know how I can make this dream go forward? I can just add Jesus to it. But they never dig the sand away and find the problems and get down. And that's a lot like the Christian life. You know what Moses did? He tried to build his leadership on the sand where he buried the Egyptian. Right? He did something wrong. He had an angry moment. He killed somebody. And it was not a justified crime. It's not capital punishment for fighting with someone. And he killed this person and he went against God and then he hid him in the sand. And he never took care of it. And then he tried to build his leadership hoping that the sand would keep his problem covered. You know what happened? It all came crashing down and he ran to the desert for 40 years. And it delayed the purpose of God. Let me ask you, what are you hiding in your sand? I mean, we're here, we're trying to build something for God, right? We're trying to build a house for the Lord. We're trying to build a future. We're trying to build a family. We're trying to build a church. You know what there is? There's affairs in the sand. There's addictions in the sand. There's sins of anger in the sand. We cover it up with a suit. And if the sand was blown away, people saw how you spoke to your wife and your kids. And if the sand was blown away and they heard you cuss out your husband, they'd say, oh my, something's not right. This is not going to keep going up. There's a crack. And we can only go up so high before this thing comes crashing and tumbling down. You know what Achan did? He took a Babylonian garment from the world and a wedge of gold from a forbidden city, and he tried to take it with him into the promised land, and he buried it underneath the house where his family dwelt. And it destroyed the house, and it destroyed Achan, and it destroyed his family. Why? Because he tried to bury it in the sand and build a house. You can't build a house on sand. Some things that are hiding. David hid sexual sin. Moses hid anger. Achan hid selfish sins. And you know what? Whenever they're... If you ever go downtown and you wonder what they're building, you can tell how high they're planning to go by how low they go down. If they're trying to build a skyscraper, they dig deep. They dig deep. 100 feet down. All the way down to the bedrock. And you know what some people want? You want a skyscraper lifestyle, and you're putting it on a chicken coop foundation. And a chicken coop foundation is not worthy of a skyscraper. It's not worthy of it. They want a skyscraper ministry, a skyscraper family, a skyscraper business, a skyscraper lifestyle, and they put it on a chicken coop foundation. What are you building for God? You want to do something for God? You want to build something for God? This church, we want to do something for God, right? Here's the question you have to raise. How low am I willing to go to dig down to get the bedrock if I want to go up? Listen, I believe God wants us to build a church for His glory and honor, and He's the one that builds the church, right? And I think that there is a great need in San Antonio where people know that they can come and hear the unadulterated Word of God, and they can hear something that will cut down to the heart and see people saved and see people get right with God. And I think God wants us to help Him build a great ministry that impacts generations for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the question we have to ask. Is where we're standing able to support where we're going? Because you know what I've learned? There's a lot of times your talent can take you to a place that your character cannot keep you. Your talent. It can take you to a place that your character cannot keep you. When I first got to this church, there were 18 people here. And this is, it used to have 800 people. And I asked the secretary at the time, I said, what happened? She said, I watched the families go one by one. One by one. And she said, the thought occurred to me, we're paying for sins of the past. And she said, then the last family left that had anything to do with all that junk. And she said, I thought, God's just not willing to let us build on a cracked foundation. And I can tell you, since that time, I've built and I have seen things come tumbling down. Many times. And you know why they came tumbling down? Something just wasn't right. It's just the wrong person. It just was, there was just something, there was some more sand that needed to be cleared away. There wasn't something right in me, or there wasn't something right in someone else, and it just wasn't right. So it came down. And I believe that we have a good foundation now at the church. Amen. Right? And I believe that we're going in the right direction. I believe that we've come down to the bedrock. But have you? I think the vision for this year is quality in every position. Not only do we have a ministry, but is it a ministry that we can be proud of? Is it a ministry that we can put anybody in and have expectation that they will grow and be taken care of and helped? Is this the kind of place, and is your Sunday school class and your service to the nursery or your service to the choir, is it the kind of place where the Queen of Sheba can come in and get a blessing, and also the kind of place where the harlot can come in and get her son restored to her? Is that the kind of place? Are we building the right way? Are we down to the bedrock? How do you get down to the bedrock? What are you talking about? How do I get to where I'm going is able to support? You know, if you go to Italy, there's a place called Pizza over there. And there's a tower called the Leaning Tower of Pizza. Or that's what I used to think it is. And I've heard people go to Italy and they say, whatever you do, skip the Tower of Pisa. Skip it. Because he said, all it is hundreds of people that come to watch a building do this. That's all it is. There's nothing to it. And you know what happened is they started to build, and Pisa means marsh. It was marshy ground. They put the first story up, and as soon as they started putting the second story up, it started to tilt. So they just stopped building. Later they came back and they tried to keep going up. And they even made some of the stories crooked to try to compensate, so it's kind of curved. And it kept tilting and tilting and tilting. And you know what it became? It became a tourist attraction. And if you are building on the wrong foundation, you know what your life is going to become? It's going to become a tourist attraction. You ever meet people like that? Their lives are a tourist attraction. They end up on the Jerry Springer show. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, but, you know, ministries, they end up tourist attracted. There's some preachers, people keep checking them out because they say, when is this going to fall? It's tilting, it's tilting, it's tilting. I'm just watching it because I want to see it crash. Don't build a life like that. Don't build a life like that. Look at the Bible here. What's the difference? What's the difference? Whosoever, what's the contrast? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Right? And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. What is the biggest contrast between these two men? One hears the word of God and does it. And the other hears the word of God and doesn't do it. One applies what he's learned, and one just hears it but doesn't apply it. He accepted biblical knowledge, and he was just like that man in the Bible who was, he was content to hear it. Just because you love hearing preaching does not mean you're spiritual. There was a man in the Bible that heard John the Baptist gladly. And he did many things, but there were some things he wouldn't do. There were some things he would not apply. He wouldn't go down to the bedrock and kick that woman out of his life that shouldn't have been there. But he did many things gladly. Many things. But he wouldn't go all the way. The Bible said, be you hearers of the word and not doers, only deceiving your own self. You know, I went to, and Brother Ashton did too, we went to Bible school, and And we graduated with people, and they have bachelors of divinity. And we don't hear from them for years and years. And we call them, and we say, "Hey, brother, how are you doing?" "Oh, not doing too good." "Really, what's going on?" "There's no good churches out here." "Really, you can't find anybody to fellowship?" "No, they all use the NIV, and they all listen to contemporary Christian music, and there's just nothing to fellowship with, and I'm just discouraged." "Oh, man, I'm sorry about that. What are you doing in the meantime?" "I'm going to the gay bar. Please pray for me because I'm struggling with homosexuality. But don't worry, I'm still King James and still sing the hymns." What? You have deceived yourself, my friend. You have taken knowledge and substituted it for what God intended, the application of biblical principles. And as extreme as that case is, there's many cases like that here today. You come week after week, and you hear me, and you hear Pastor Ashton, and you hear truth that cuts down to your quick, where you know you need to make a change and do something, and you leave, and nothing ever changes, and you come back, and nothing ever changes, and years and years and years and years, and you're still the same. You know what you're sitting on? A sand foundation. And you know what's coming? The storm's coming. The storm's coming. The conclusion. They both had a dream. But the Bible said the storm came. And the storm separated and said who built what on what. And can I tell you, the storm's coming. And maybe it's a health storm. And maybe it's a family storm. And maybe it's a money storm. But the worst things that can happen to people, this wasn't just any storm. This is wind-driven water. This is hurricane. And the church hurricane's coming. And we're all building a house, and we have two outcomes. Two outcomes. We have guaranteed failure, and we have guaranteed success. I remember when I was 15 years old, and I'm 37 now, my preacher said one of the most impactful statements that I have ever heard in my lifetime. There were about 20 of us in a youth group, and we all grew up together and knew each other so well. And there was a youth activity where the guys were supposed to be in one cabin and the girls were supposed to be in another cabin. And 3 a.m, someone got the bright idea to sneak out and let's go fellowship with each other. Good Christian fellowship, right? And I didn't get in any other trouble except that I snuck out. Not that I didn't want to, I just didn't have the opportunity to, right? But some people got into pretty bad trouble that night. And I remember the preacher the next day, everyone's all tired, and he comes over and he sits us down, and we're all sitting right here in front of us. And he said this. He said, "Some of you love God, you really do, and you're going to end up serving God and being preachers and missionaries." And he said, "But some of you are frauds and you're fakes and you don't love God. And some of you are going to grow up and you're going to be perverts and you're going to cheat on your wife and you're going to cheat on your husband and you're going to leave your kids for another woman. Some of you are going to be criminals. Some of you are going to be atheists. And some of you are going to wind up being homosexuals." My friend Matt, my friend Bob, they're both preachers. We looked at each other. My friend Nathan, he's a pastor. Said, "No, there's no way." Right next to me was sitting a man, a boy. He changed his name to Allison, and he's gotten surgery, He's taking hormones. And he lives with different men. The other guy over here started a rock band. Left his wife and left his kids. The other guy is now an atheist. And his mission is to do ultra running and organize races in the islands in the Caribbean to where you run naked and you bear it all to put away poverty. And you run through the jungle with no clothes on for 200 miles. And that's his mission in life. And I'm only 37 years old. And that prophecy has come true. It wasn't a prophecy, it was just a fact. And the worst is yet to come. Because if you don't love God, you just get worse and worse and worse and worse through the years. You don't get better. Man, the people that loved God got closer to God and got more like God. And the people that didn't, they got worse and worse and worse. And in this room, it's no different. There's no difference in this room here than what that preacher said. There's two outcomes here today. There's guaranteed success and there's guaranteed failure. And I want you to look at this verse here, Matthew chapter 7, and look at this. And this, man, this just jumped off the page at me. Look at this, Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew 7. And I want you to look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever, do you like that word, whosoever? 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 Look at verse 26. Everyone, that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Everyone and whosoever. One is a choice, and the other is a tragedy. One is a choice, and the other is a tragedy. You can't work on a foundation during the storm. One, people want to wait till the storm to work on the foundation. You can fix it after the storm or before the storm, but you can't fix it during the storm. You can fix it now. Whosoever, and I read that, and I was in my prayer closet, and I was praying over that, and I said, whosoever, 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 and I just started crying, and I came out, and the kids and Michelle were there reading the Bible, and I said, listen, guys, I said, my greatest prayer is that you'll make it in life. And my greatest prayer is that when death comes and sickness comes and tragedies come and things that I can't, I would want to protect you from the storm, but I can't. You're going to go through the storm, but I just pray to God, will you make it? You've been through a tremendous amount of heartache, and I just want to know that if you go through this storm, that you're going to make it through this storm. And I said, I don't have to wonder, and you don't have to wonder. If you just choose to listen to God and do it, you're going to make it no matter what. But if you don't, you're going to fail. We can know right now. And I started thinking, and I don't like to do this, but I started thinking about people in the church, and I started thinking about people that are going through health problems. And it's just one thing after another, and one thing after another. And sometimes when that happens, I wonder, are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? And then when I look and I see where their house is founded, you know what gave me great comfort? They're going to make it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how hard the storm blows. It doesn't matter how high the flood comes up. It doesn't matter how much rain comes down. It doesn't matter how hard the wind beats against their house. They are going to make it. Praise the Lord. They're going to make it. I started thinking about little Reagan and the Cormican family and what they're facing and the diagnosis of leukemia. And that's, I was thinking and I said, God, it's already been so much with a child with a disability and having to take care of, and that's just a big blow at first. And I know, God, you've got him through that, but this? Are they going to make it? Is their marriage going to make it? Is their life going to withstand this? Is it going to? And I said, whosoever. If their life is really built on Jesus Christ, They're going to make it.
Amen.
They're going to make it. What a blessing that is. But at the same time, what a sadness that is, that there's people in here, you're just not going to make it. You're not going to. You're not going to make it. Goes in one ear and out the other, and it's just a matter of time. The storm's going to come and it's going to blow you off. But you know what the great news is? Is you can fix your foundation now. You can fix it now. You don't have to wait till it's too late. How do you do that? Well, you acknowledge your foundation is broken. Say, God, there's cracks in this foundation. I mean, I've been there. God, I need some piers. I need some pylons. I need, God, you got to help me fix this foundation. Because I know and you know that it's cracked. And maybe it was something in the sermon I said this morning. Brother Josh, if you come forward. Maybe if it was something the Holy Spirit told you. Maybe it was something I said. But when you looked at your life, you looked at the two guaranteed outcomes and you knew which one you were. And praise God, hopefully most people, you can have great comfort knowing I'm going to make it. No matter what. Because my house is founded on a rock. And I can just know. I can just know that no matter what comes, I can just know. I know. I'm going to make it. Because I'm that whosoever. And maybe there's people here. And you said, I need my foundation repaired. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And if your life is not founded on the rock of Christ Jesus, we can show you how to do that.